Welcome to the Nerf Report.
Welcome back to the Nerf Report.
Thank you, everybody, for joining us.
No, I'm filming my show for the YouTube. Stop being salty.
The ghost of Macho Man Randy Savage is here.
And in the history of the Nerf Report, with all of the videos we've ever made, this one is definitely going to be our jump the shark moment. Hey, welcome back to the Nerf Report. My name is Bryant. We've got a big show lined up for you this week. Google Stadia is still alive as the company announces that they will be expanding to a brand new region in the form of Mexico. Get your backlogs ready because we got a ton of free games coming your way. The cloud gaming platform Boosteroid dropped a bunch of very interesting news that we need to dive into. And the wonderful team at Nerdnest, Bill and Lloyd, join us to talk about cloud gaming, the Steam Deck, and so much more. That's right, we've got a massive show on our hands, so please sit back, enjoy this week's episode of The Nerf Report.
Are you listening?
All right, this week's show is a three-pager. We've got six major stories, so let's kind of jump into the first one. Google Stadia is coming to Mexico. I'm so thankful that we did Nerf Report in Espanol. Like, all of our videos are getting translated into Spanish, so all the new players get to see all of our Stadia stuff. So excited. This news got broke by Ben Shun over at 9to5 Google, and essentially, Google has announced a bunch of new initiatives at a press conference, including the news that its cloud gaming platform Stadia will be coming to Mexico. Now, this news marks the first major expansion for Stadia since 2020. We're almost 2 years from when they announced that they'd be expanding to a bunch of European countries. And Stadia being available in Mexico brings their availability to 23 countries. Overall, I think that this is killer news. You know, I do know Mexico traditionally is like Xbox territory, so I'm kind of really interested to see how that lands there. And the other thing that's kind of spawned since this all started was that 9to5 Google, there's a narrative around this story that people were like, man, they're being too harsh on Stadia, specifically surrounding the fact like this is a good story, this is good news for Stadia, and they seem to be focusing in on, you know, also some of the negatives. So Stadia shut down Stadia Games and Entertainment, there's a lack of games, and in all honesty, just really facing the reality of where Google Stadia is at right now. And look, this is me talking here. Mexico is very exciting. I think that that's a huge opportunity for Stadia. But Mexico does not solve the fact that we're only at like 30-something games on Google Stadia for this year, and both Xbox Cloud Gaming and GeForce Now are yards ahead of where Stadia is at. The Mexico announcement from Stadia does not bring games like Guardians of the Galaxy, Elden Ring, or LEGO Skywalker Saga to the platform. Yes, potentially having new players could bring the game to the platform, but in its current state, that problem is not solved. Yes, this announcement of Stadia moving to Mexico does bring the potential of new players coming to the platform, and hopefully more developers who see a larger player base. But without day-and-date releases, without titles to attract people to the platform, and without communication from the actual company to keep people interested, none of this changes. And I understand that I'm only talking about like a small segment of the Stadia community, and they're the most diehard Stadia supporters out there, and I don't fault you for doing it. Enjoy your platform. Mazel tov to you. But to come out and say that 9to5's narrative is too harsh or it's not fair enough, I feel like that in its sense is disingenuous. If you don't tell your audience that there are problems, you're not being truthful to your listeners, to your readers, or even to the people who watch your show. It's the equivalent of being in a fishing boat that's filled with holes, and you're just praising how good the fish are biting today. Meanwhile, your buddy Jimmy out here is just shoveling water out, and he's like, hey guys, we got a serious problem. Yeah, we'll eventually get to it, but man, these fish are biting, huh? Look, I've been talking about subjects like this since I started the show. Anyone who purposefully goes out and changes a narrative is doing more harm. Just because a narrative doesn't make you feel good or doesn't make you have warm feelings inside doesn't mean that that narrative isn't true. And to tell your audience or tell people who are following you that, hey, this guy is being too harsh and he's not being truthful, that's just disingenuous and you're just not being forthcoming. So stop. All right, moving on to our next story. July is officially here, and we have a ton of free video games if you're subscribers to services like PlayStation Plus, Xbox Games with Gold, Stadia Pro, or Luna Prime. So first up, let's talk about the Stadia Pro lineup for July. If you're not aware, these games include the likes of Five Nights at Freddy's Security Breach. Really excited about that one. Atari's Centipede Recharge, Those Who Remain, Worms WMD, Roguebook, and the Fast and Furious Spy Racers Rise of Shifter. Three really solid games in there that I'm excited about. Five Nights at Freddy's, really look forward to playing that. I'm going to jump into Those Who Remain this weekend. I'm kind of intrigued, but a little nervous about the reviews of that one. And Roguebook, I've been told by a lot of people who watch this show in the comments that, hey, you're sleeping on Roguebook. So because of you, I am definitely going to be checking this out. Moving on to PlayStation, PlayStation Plus subscribers for the month of July will be getting Crash Bandicoot's Insane Trilogy, fantastic game, Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan, absolutely adore that game, and Arkadigadon. I hope to God that I'm pronouncing that correctly. Two really cool games. I'd never played Arkadigadon. I might be sleeping on that one, but Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy, if you haven't played it yet, highly recommend that. Friend of the show, Jem, absolutely obsessed with that game. Rightfully so. It's a blast. Dark Pictures Anthology, Man of Medan. It's one of the better Dark Pictures video games. And if you're into horror games, Choose Your Own Adventures, definitely check that one out. All right, let's talk about Xbox Games with Gold. Now remember, this is separate from Game Pass. Tons of games come to Game Pass in the month of July. These are just the games that'll be coming to Games with Gold subscribers, or Xbox, is it Pro? Xbox Live memberships. That's what we're talking about here. Xbox Games with Gold subscribers will get Beast of Maravilla Island. Never heard of that game before. Relictica, Relictica. We'll put it right here on the screen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that correctly. Thrillville, Off the Rails, and Torchlight, if I'm not mistaken, just showed up on Netflix Gaming via mobile. So that's really interesting that it's like actually free to play on Xbox as well. Solid lineup. I've only played one of those games, that being Torchlight, but the other ones I'm sure are fun. And finally, moving on to Amazon Luna Prime Gaming. So this is Luna Prime. If you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, these will be the games you'll be getting for the month of July. Mega Man 11, Overcooked 2, Skatebird, and Castlevania Anniversary Collection. Skatebird might be the title that I would pull out of there and be like, play that game. Definitely check it out. If you're a fan of Tony Hawk, it's essentially a skateboarding simulation game, but you're skating as a bird. Hence the name. And honestly, when you look at them all together, July is a solid month for gamers. So really excited to kind of see some of the new games that get announced this month. But from what we can see from the subscription models, plenty of games to play this month. All right, our next story involves the cloud gaming platform Boosteroid, which if you're not aware, this has primarily in the past been a European cloud gaming platform. Recently, they came to North America, but they offer a similar model to like GeForce Now. You buy the games on Steam or the Epic Game Store, and you can virtually play them in the cloud thanks to Boosteroid. Well, this week, the head of Boosteroid, Vlad, joined Cloud Gaming Extreme's Duncan to talk about kind of the future of cloud gaming and where Boosteroid will be heading next. And there were some big takeaways from this, and if you haven't watched this interview, please, I'm linking it in the description of this video. Highly recommend you check it out. We found out things like Boosteroid will be debuting a true 4K 120 frames per second tier that will be arriving this fall. Notably, the head of Boosteroid says something along the lines of like, you know, other platforms, they claim they have 4K. This is going to be a true 4K platform. So I'm really interested to see what they do with that. Boosteroid also announced that they will be expanding to Mexico this year, along with coming to brand new television platforms. The Boosteroid TV app is already available on over 20 million TVs globally, which is kind of a crazy number. And this was something that I took away from this interview that I had no clue. When you're playing the TV app, obviously you can sync your controller via Bluetooth, but Boosteroid also offers a gamepad app that you can go to the App Store on Apple or on Android, and you can get a virtual controller that you can then sync to your television and play your Boosteroid games via TV. And the final big takeaway for me was a quote from Vlad, where he said that in 7 to 10 years, 90% of gamers will be playing via the cloud in some form. And I think that that's a really kind of good way to think about it. Like, we oftentimes talk about cloud gaming because it's kind of what we focus here on the channel, and we're just like, man, when's it gonna happen? But we're also in the early stages. So while we want to see the Stadias and the GeForce Nows and the Lunas and the Boosteroids of the world, you know, act like the PlayStations, we're in the long game. This isn't a it's not a race, it's a marathon. Let's actually get to the end and see how it goes. All right, moving on to Sucker Punch. They broke the hearts of millions of gamers this week. If you're not aware, Sucker Punch is the studio who made games like Rocket, Robot on Wheels, Sly Cooper, my personal favorite, Infamous, and of course, Ghost of Tsushima. Well, recently on the Reddit forums and 4chan and all the other places, the Twitters, the interwebs, there's been a lot of rumors that we might be getting a new Infamous or a new Sly Cooper game, and Sucker Punch pretty much just put an end to all those rumors this week. Sucker Punch wrote in an update, "As our games continue to grow in scale and complexity, they require the full attention of our studio. With our focus on our current project, we have no plans to revisit Infamous or Sly Cooper right now. And no other studio is currently working on projects related to those franchises either. These characters are very special and near and dear to our hearts, so while we'd never say never to reopening those doors down the road, for now, there are no Infamous or Sly Cooper games in development." Which, yes, sucks, but big takeaway from this for me is, like, look at Sony's freaking library. Like, based off of just IPs that they're not using, they literally have a goldmine. You have God of War, Horizon, Spider-Man, Uncharted, all of those, but then you also have things like Sly Cooper, Infamous, The Order, SOCOM, Resistance, Killzone. It just goes to show just the breadth of what PlayStation is capable of doing. And next up, we have a very special treat. We are joined by two of, I think I can say this, the cloud gaming OGs, Bill and Lloyd from Nerdnest. Bill, Lloyd, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm sorry it took so long for you guys to come on. I've always been a fan of what you guys have been doing. I was first introduced to you right after GDC. StadiaCast. So I guess the first question, jump there. Is that where you guys started creating content, or what's your origin story for a superhero context?
Sure. Yeah. I've been creating video game content since 2005 or something ridiculous. I started out doing right when the PSP came out, the PlayStation Portable. I loved that device. And if you can notice a theme here, I really love a device, I start doing a podcast about it. And that's kind of what happened with the PSP, and then moved quickly into Nintendo for Nintendo Pulse and Wii Spot, which was we started with DS Lite, which was the 3DS, or just the DS, actually. The DS Lite had just come out. And then we started up, I registered a domain called Wii Spot, just because when the Wii was made, or the announcement was made for the name, I had to come up with comedy domains, so I came up with a bunch of them, and that kind of turned into another podcast, and then they were mushed together into Nintendo Pulse, and that's where I met Bill, and then we followed each other's content, did some stuff for a short period of time, and then Nerdnest became a thing. So I don't know, what about your journey there, Bill?
I started out with, there was a podcast that I did, there was one episode, it was called, well, actually, you go back a really, really long way. This is back before podcasting was really a thing. There was this, I worked at an ISP, and that ISP, we had really good internet. This is back in the days of dial-up, and there was the show that I used to watch, and I'm not even joking. This was video content back in the days of dial-up. It was on this network in New York called the Pseudo Network, and they had a like video podcast about video games. I can't even remember what it was called, but then that company like shut down, and then the owners, Scott Rubin, started a new show called the All Games Cast, and I used to send in RPG news to that podcast, and it was recorded on like this terrible Packard Bell microphone. I can't believe they ever played any of my stuff. And then fast forward to, I decided I wanted to start a podcast of my own. This was many, many years later. And I did one episode of Arkatan's Arcade, which I liked the alliteration, but I quickly realized nobody was going to be able to spell Arkatan, because like people in my WoW guild couldn't spell Arkatan. Like they always called me Artican. And so I was like, I need a better name. And so then I made a show called Run Jump Stomp, which I did for a long time. And then I did Nintendo Switchcraft when the Nintendo came out. And that's how I ended up meeting Lloyd. And then when Stadia got announced, I was basically live on my Twitch channel at the time, and I said, I'm going to do a podcast called StadiaCast, and Lloyd happened to be watching at the time, and he says, oh, Bill, you beat me to it. And I said, no, I didn't, because you're going to be my co-host. I didn't even ask him. I just I need a co-host. That's you, buddy. And so we ended up starting StadiaCast, and then that ended up turning into Nerd Nest, and Nintendo Switchcraft ended up switching over to Games with Bill because I just didn't have enough Nintendo news that I wanted to talk about, and that's where we are today.
I'm curious for each of you, Bill, you can take this one first. What drew you to Google Stadia to begin with?
Convenience, absolutely convenience. Like the idea that you could play like these brand new games and not have to have a box under your TV was really, really cool to me. And I kept talking about it as the democratization of video games, because anybody with an internet connection could play these games, and you didn't have to spend X dollars or whatever in order to get the next box to put under your TV. And, you know, fast forward, you would probably, you know, they'll eventually upgrade the stuff, and that upgraded stuff you would then not have to pay for. So I thought that was a really compelling argument. And I'm still waiting for that compelling argument to continue. Stadia is super convenient, and it's really awesome how well it works. It's amazing how well it works, but I'm still waiting for those upgrades.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you in that same boat where it's like, I'm so frustrated because you see the potential and then you're just like, come on. You just want to push them like a toddler on a bike. You're like, you got this. Take the training wheels off. But Lloyd, how about you?
Yeah, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I used to listen to an obscene number of podcasts. My commute has changed a little bit, so that isn't as frequent as a thing. But I still listen to podcasts every day. One of the shows I've been listening to forever is DLC with Jeff Cannata and Christian Spicer. And at one point, they were talking about something called Google Project Stream. And I'm like, what's that? And I look into it, and it wasn't available in Canada. And I'm like, okay, that's cool. What is this? And then they talk about, we're playing Assassin's Creed Origins, and it's running to our crappy laptop, and this is working at 1080p, and there's no lag. And I was like, that's no way. There's no way that is true. And then I saw a bunch of people talking about it, and fast forward to Google announcing it as an actual product called Stadia. I was like, that is exactly what I wanted. I'm a console gamer. You can see behind me, I have cartridges and discs and all that stuff. I like plugging a thing into a thing to play a thing. And then I thought about cloud gaming. Is like, wait a second, I don't have to buy the console. Google bought the console. Google's fronting me a console. I just have to buy the games. And I thought that was such an amazing idea for a console. They had proven that through Project Stream that it works. 1080p was fine. And then they come out and they're like, 4K, 60 frames a second. I'm like, no way, that's not going to happen. And then as it got closer to everything, like we started the show, we talked about it forever. And it turned out to be everything that I didn't think it could be, and so much more, which was kind of amazing for kind of not the first platform in the market, but kind of like the first standalone platform that wasn't run your Steam games on this thing or run this console version of a game over the internet at 720p. So yeah, I'm a big tech guy, and new tech like that just got me super, super interested.
Jumping into that kind of new tech feel, Samsung's gaming hub is kind of the big new talk of the market. GeForce Now, Google Stadia, and Amazon Luna are now all officially on Samsung Gaming Hub as of this week. So I'm curious, what are your guys' thoughts on that?
I think it's fantastic that Samsung, I mean, I'm not going to run out and buy a Samsung TV for that feature, but I feel like I said this a lot of times on StadiaCast, over time, that kind of thing, it's not going to be something that sells the TV, but it's going to be something where if you have the TV and you turn that on, that's going to be like, oh, that's really cool. I didn't know about that. All I have to have is a controller. Fantastic. Everybody's got a controller in a drawer somewhere. And if you can get it to connect to the TV, that's going to really help GeForce Now, Luna, Stadia, and probably any of the other cloud gaming platforms as well. I think it's awesome that they're doing that.
Yeah, I agree. That's kind of something that we've talked about for a long time, that Stadia, in its kind of in its inception, was that. It was this little tiny thing you plug into a TV and you forget it's even there, and it just works, and it just works. And then they came out with their TV apps, and other companies came out with their TV apps, and those are great. Not, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with them, but taking all that stuff and aggregating it into one central repository of sorts is definitely where the industry needs to go, because with all the announcements over the last couple of weeks of new streaming services that are coming to North America and other parts of the world, what I hate personally is having some of my games in Steam and some in Epic Games Store and some on Xbox and some on this and some in Stadia and some on GeForce Now. Well, actually, those are in Steam, so that one's pretty easy. I hate that. I hate having all my stuff in various compartments that I can't see everything at once. Having an app where it'll show you the games that you're playing, it'll show you the games that are available, and it'll be like, oh yeah, I was playing this game on GeForce Now, I'm just going to jump right back into it. I think that's huge, and I'd be super surprised if the rest of the kind of the higher end television market doesn't just ape that and steal that idea, because it totally makes sense. Just like TVs nowadays, especially if you're using an Android TV, will aggregate all the TV stuff that you're watching across all the different services. It just totally makes sense to have that done with gaming as well.
Yeah, I think the one interesting thing, and you guys kind of alluded to it earlier, is that with Stadia, the original idea was, okay, you don't need a console, you don't need a high-end PC, it kind of democratizes it. And Bill, you hit it right on the head. I looked it up, Samsung 55-inch TV is like $2,000. So it's like, in order to embrace this, you got to go get a $2,000 TV. So really where I hope to see this is kind of what you were saying, Lloyd, is, you know, let's see this on LG. Let's see this on Samsung. Let's see everybody begin to kind of play ball and kind of have it, because there's nothing worse than being like, oh, do I own this game on Stadia, or do I own this game on Epic, or do I have to re-up my Game Pass subscription in order to play this? It's just having one place that can not only curate the games, but allow you to play them all would be fantastic.
And, you know, to kind of piggyback on that is the thing that a lot of people misunderstand about cloud gaming in general, because you're not buying a box to put underneath your TV, it doesn't have to succeed immediately. It can play the long game, because with the Nintendo Wii U, that thing failed hardcore. I have one. It's an awesome system, but it did not sell well. And because it didn't sell well right out of the gate, everybody abandoned it. And, you know, they stopped manufacturing it, and eventually they stopped selling them in stores. With a cloud system, like, they can do this, you know, the tortoise and the hare kind of thing, where they slowly build over time and they keep getting better and better and better incrementally, instead of having to have everything go gangbusters on day one. And I think that's the same kind of thing that we're going to see with the Samsung, what's it called again?
Gaming Hub.
With the Samsung Gaming Hub, is we're not going to see anything right now, but in 3 years, when you go in to buy a new TV and it's just something that's built into the latest, like, at that point those TVs will be like $400 or something, then everybody's gonna have this. And it's gonna be one of those things where, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, I go on to a TV app and I'm looking through and it's like, I don't even know what this app is. Okay, there's like Crunchyroll, or that one that comedians in cars getting coffee started out on. I can't remember.
Crackle.
Like, I didn't even know what those things were, and then I see it and then I start using it. The gaming hub could be the same way, in order to get things like GeForce Now, Xbox Cloud Gaming, Luna, and Stadia out there. And I think that that's awesome.
It's a very, very exciting concept. And I'm curious, one of the questions I had for you guys was, where do you see the cloud gaming vertical going, let's just say 5 years from now? Where do you think it'll be? Do you think it's going to be, you know, the primary gaming option out there? Or do you think there's still going to be people playing consoles? Or how do you think the landscape's going to be?
couple years ago, I said 5 years, you're going to have a large percentage, not a majority, but 20-30% of people that play games would be playing in cloud in some instance. And then things started slowing down, and I was like, okay, maybe that was a little aggressive. I was being a little too happy with the whole cloud gaming thing. But then Xbox Game Pass and launching xCloud really kind of changed cloud gaming for the industry as a whole. Like, when people are waiting for a game to install and they can click this little cloud button and they can start playing Forza right away, and they don't have to think about it, they're just playing it, they don't realize that they're playing cloud gaming. I think that's going to be huge as a driver for more people coming to cloud gaming as kind of their first choice. Stadia has done an amazing job recently with their playable demos. The fact that you can go to a webpage, there's 75 demos there. You can play them between a half hour and 2 hours. So you're giving every single person on the internet that's in a supported region, 150 hours worth of content to go experience for nothing, $0. And all you need to do for Google is to take, 5%, 10% of those people and convert them into paying customers. And this experiment starts paying off for them. So I don't know, maybe my thoughts a couple years ago about 5 years being 30% was a little bit aggressive, but maybe not now. Maybe 5 years from now, you're going to see 30%+ of people that play video games that use more than just, say, their phone, that use consoles or whatever, PCs even, playing in cloud streaming, just because it is easy. And all you need is for the next Cyberpunk to happen, where the only good place to play it is Stadia or Luna or Blast Boosteroid or whatever happens to be the winner of whatever the next broken game lottery is. And you're going to get a large chunk of people that are just going to move over to that service, play their game, enjoy it. Don't even think about cloud. Don't think about bits. Don't think about bandwidth. Just play the game. And that's going to start converting people to being cloud first gamers.
And I do agree with that, Lloyd. I do think, however, that, boy, I want to say that I was really bullish on cloud gaming, and I still feel like I am. But at the same time, there's so many places where you just can't get decent internet. And because of that, you still have to have those boxes to put underneath people's TVs, which is unfortunate. But I do think that you're right, that it is going to continually improve over time. And I'm sure that we said that a billion times on StadiaCast, that it's a marathon, not a sprint. And when you're talking about cloud gaming, it is going to be a marathon, not a sprint, because you have to roll things out slowly. The infrastructure in most parts of the world just still is not ready for it. But, you know, as Google, the champions of encoding things, having it still look really good quality and not taking up all that much bandwidth, as they get better and better and better at that, and you know, the more competition that there is in the cloud gaming space, the more it's going to push all of these companies forward to get better at encoding and making things low latency. I think that you're going to see it push into more places. It's just a shame that cloud gaming started right at the beginning of the pandemic and right at the beginning of like chip shortages. So it slowed every kind of adoption down. And a lot of people looked at that and they said, well, there's a chip shortage and everybody's stuck at home, so everybody's going to be playing their games in the cloud, which makes perfect sense until you think about the fact that Google and Microsoft and Amazon and everybody else has to get chips themselves in order to put the servers online. So, boy, it's way more complicated than a lot of people assume that it is, I think.
Nerdnest, you guys have been producing some content about a product that I have not had a chance to get my hands on, and that's the Steam Deck. Your show, On Deck, seems to be extremely popular amongst your audience, and I'm curious, as someone who's never touched it, never seen it, what does a Steam Deck feel like in your hands? Is it as awesome as it looks?
It's pretty awesome. It's pretty awesome, I got to tell you. The one thing about Steam Deck that I didn't realize I would love so much, and it actually might be good for the cloud gaming industry as a whole, is I'm playing games at 720p. I never want to play games at 720p. And if people can start getting it in their brain that you can have a good experience at 720p, all of a sudden, all the streaming services out there don't have to put out 1080p and 4K signals. So the people, like you were talking about, Bill, where there's a large swath of this continent that doesn't have good internet, they probably have good enough internet to do 720p streaming. So it's almost interesting to me. It's opened my eyes a little bit that you can have amazing experiences at 720p or 800p, and maybe you'll get a lot of settings. I know Stadia and other ones, you can set it down to 720p, but that might all open people's eyes if they see other people playing games at that resolution. Anyway, the Steam Deck itself is, it's the consolization of the PC. And that's one of the things that we said in, I think, our first show, Bill, and we immediately got about 97% hate because we said that. But it really is. It really is. You buy a game on Steam, it installs. That's it. It's like you go to the Epic store, or sorry, you go to the Xbox store or the Nintendo store or the Stadia store. It's the exact same process, but it's on the Steam Deck. You go to a store, you buy a game, you look at the games that you have. It's changed my mind a lot because I used to be a big PC gamer. And then I stopped because consoles were the thing. I just wanted simplicity. My day job is IT. I didn't want to come home and solve problems. I just want to come home and play. And the Steam Deck is as close to that in PC gaming that I've had in, I don't know, years of playing PC games.
As far as what it's like to hold one, it is the most comfortable gaming device that I've ever had in my hands. The layout is perfect. It's not a perfect device. There's definitely things that I would change about it, but it's awesome. And the thing that you said a second ago, Lloyd, about resolution. So I didn't mention this show before. I've got another podcast that I don't actually update, but there's like 50 episodes and it's like it's evergreen content. So like it's not newsy, but it's called 143 pixels. At the end of every episode of 143 pixels, the guest would say resolution doesn't matter, because I've always thought resolution doesn't matter. But too many people get this thing in their head, and Google kind of fell prey to this at the beginning, that they want it, the numbers have to be bigger. I have to have bigger numbers than this person over here, or it's not going to be good enough. And like that 720p thing, these games running on this thing at, and listen, if anybody of our that watches our content hears us say 720p, they're going to be mad at us. It's 800p, Lloyd, don't forget.
Some games are 720p, some are 800p.
That's true. But when you're playing at that low resolution, they still look really pretty. They really still do look good. And people, they get the numbers in their head too much and they forget about, is the game fun? Like I saw this on Stadia a million times. People were like, is it running at 4K? And like with Doom, Eternal, they were like, no, it's 1800p. As opposed to 2160p, who cares? Like, that is not a big deal. But people made it a big deal because of the numbers. And I think that's a big thing that too many people focus on.
Yeah, with all of your experience, if you had to kind of rank, you know, a cloud gaming experience with a mobile device and, like, let's say, like a Razer Kishi, the Nintendo Switch, and then the Steam Deck, what would that top three look like?
For me, it would be Nintendo Switch, number one, 100%, because Nintendo is in the business of making smooth interactions between the hardware and the software. And nothing works as good as a new piece of Nintendo hardware with the first game that they ship with it. It's a magic experience. Then it would be, for me, the Steam Deck, because it plays games. It plays Steam games. It plays Windows games. It plays Epic games. It plays GOG games. But it also plays all the streaming services as well. So you can I stream Stadia and Xbox and everything on it. No problem there. And then it would be my phone. I have a Backbone, which I love, by the way. But I don't use it as often as I thought I would, just because the Steam Deck came out and the Switch was already in my house. I bought this thing a year ago and I've probably used it 20, 30 times. So for me, that would be my ranking. There's no beating Nintendo. Nintendo does hardware and software interaction magic. Steam Deck is just, as Bill said, one of the most comfortable devices I've used, and it does everything. Like I can play an NES game on it through an emulator. Then I can play Monster Hunter Rise, that the new game that just came out, the new Sun whatever that DLC that just came out. I could download that and install it, and then I can get tired of that and jump into Stadia and play through my large Stadia library on the same device. It's pretty fantastic.
For me, the bottom of the barrel is absolutely a third party thing clipped to my phone. I never play games on my phone, like, ever. Okay. And I do have, I don't remember what it's called. I have a thing that clips to a phone. It's like an orange and blue thing. And I don't know why, but everybody wants to copy the Nintendo Switch, where they have one joystick on the top right, or top left, and other one on the bottom right. But you don't have enough room on the controller to have that right thumbstick where it is. And so playing games that use both thumbsticks is incredibly uncomfortable. And I just can't stand that. And that's another thing that I don't like. When I played my Switch, when I was doing my Switch podcast, my like Nintendo Switchcraft, I did that show for 5 years. I think the Nintendo Switch is fantastic. Almost always I played it docked, because it's uncomfortable to play, because they wanted it to be as portable as possible. Nintendo had, you know, they put it on a scale someplace, and they said on this side it's going to be super super portable, and on this side it's going to be super super comfortable, and they skewed more to the comfortable, or I'm sorry, more to the portable side, and they gave up on some of that comfort. Where the Steam Deck, they went on the other side, they made it way bulkier. Like, this thing is not going to be in your pocket like the Nintendo Switch could. But at the same time, when I hold it in my hands, it's so much more comfortable, and it just kind of melts away, and you just focus on what's happening on the screen. Plus, you have all those other input options on the Steam Deck. So for me, it's going to be Steam Deck, Nintendo, if it's a Nintendo game, and then like 30 miles below ground is going to be a thing clipped to my phone.
Have you all been following the rumors about Xbox possibly coming out with a mobile device? What are your thoughts on that? I mean, do you think there's still a market for that? We've got the Steam Deck, we've got the Nintendo Switch, and now we have all these cloud gaming offerings that simply just run on your phone. Do you think there's an area for like an Xbox portable?
I think so. I'm going to take the same question that you said, and let's go back in time. We've got Sega and Nintendo and Sony. They've completely got the gaming market sewn up. Is there room for Microsoft? Really?
True, that's a really good point.
It's the same exact thing all over again. There's always room for somebody to come in. Remember MySpace? There's always room for somebody to come in and disrupt the environment. And I think that Microsoft could do that. I don't know that they will, though. And if they did, I think that they would want it to be like a streaming device where you would use it with your Game Pass subscription, and it would just like tether to your phone or something, or use Wi-Fi in order to stream those games to you at a low resolution, like Lloyd's been doing with his Steam Deck. What do you think, Lloyd?
I think it can happen. I don't think it will happen. I know the rumors are out there, and I also know that companies do a lot of R&D, and they produce a lot of products that are amazing that never make it to market. I know Microsoft is working on that streaming stick. They really want to get that thing out there. And I think that is a super smart thing for people that don't want to go buy the $2,000 Samsung TV, but they still want to stream Xbox games. That is going to be huge. I have no doubt in my mind that they are working on a portable. I don't think they're going to bring it to market. I would love to be wrong, because I'd love to see what a Microsoft handheld looks like. That's kind of always been the joke in the industry, when the DS was out and then the Vita or the PSP was out, and it's like, okay, what's Microsoft going to do? Are they going to come out with the X pad or something? And it's been a joke for many, many years. I'd love to see what they would actually do as a piece of hardware you can pick up in a store and bring home.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting, because when you look at the market and you see kind of what everybody's doing, Nintendo has always kind of been like this walled off garden. You know, they're very similar to Apple in that sense. So Nintendo works with Nintendo, nothing kind of leaves. But that's the company that I'm most interested about in the next 5 to 6 years, because you already see Sony, you already see Xbox, you see PlayStation, they're all kind of making their moves in the cloud gaming space. Nintendo's the one that is kind of flirting with cloud gaming right now, with games kind of running on the Switch. I'm curious, do you both, with all of your history of kind of following Nintendo, do you see a day that we could possibly have a Nintendo app on a television or a Nintendo app on your phone, similar to the way we do with Game Pass, Stadia, or GeForce Now right now?
Personally, I don't think there'll ever be a Nintendo app on a television unless it's some sort of Nintendo Classic app. So instead of selling you mini consoles, they sell you an app that you pay an annual fee for to access NES games or something. I could see Nintendo doing that, but that would be way down the line. Nintendo's always been the company that innovates. Like, every major control innovation that has come to the industry, Nintendo kind of did first. They did the D-pad first. They did the layout of a controller first. They did the kind of everything with shoulder buttons and rumble and analog sticks and motion controls. So I think Nintendo is always going to innovate on the hardware side of things because they want to wow people with the Nintendo magic, where you play the game on the launch day console and it's not something you could play anywhere else. That is Nintendo's bread and butter.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Lloyd here. I also think, like, the reason that you go to the cloud is because you don't have hardware that can run things locally, essentially. That's not the only reason, but that's one of the main reasons. And Nintendo has always said that the way that they like to do things is they like to use older technology in new ways. And it makes a lot of sense for them to do it that way, because using older technology in new ways is cheap. And so that means that they make money on hardware sales, and they are the only ones that make money on hardware. And I don't know if you're aware, but they make a lot of money.
They're not starving right now.
No, and I don't see them. Boy, if there's one thing that Nintendo does poorly, it is online. They do it so terribly compared to everybody else. And so I don't see them going to the cloud route for a very, very long time. Again, old technology in new ways. When everybody else is in the cloud and Nintendo's still, like, you know, old man yelling at the clouds, I think that eventually, maybe someday, but it's going to be an exceedingly long time before we see that. And everybody else is going to be like, what took you so long to get here?
Well, I got two last questions for you guys, and they're kind of quick and brief, so we can let you kind of go on your way. What is your favorite game so far this year?
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Shredder's Revenge.
Is that good?
It's my game of the year so far. It's a nostalgia punch. So if you don't want to get punched with nostalgia, and if you love turtles the way that I did, I was a huge turtle fan from when I was a kid. Loved the original cartoon, love everything to do with turtles. It feels like the games never went away and they just kept iterating. And this is like the Turtles in Time 5 or something. Like, it feels like a game that has developed over years and iterations. It is so good. I wish it was longer. I wish there was every character that has ever been in a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle cartoon is playable. Like, I wish there was more to it, because it's an arcade beat 'em up. So you can beat it in an hour and a half, 2 hours, whatever. But it is such a great game. And that for me right now, that is my favorite game that has come out this year.
Yeah, I've been watching that game from the sidelines, and I played it in the, like, I kind of like you in the old arcade of, you know, playing the beat 'em up and that. But the one that it's given me hope for is that maybe we'll get to see them have The Simpsons get a similar treatment and just kind of redo it like they did with TMNT. I think that would be a great choice. Bill, what have you been playing? What's your favorite game so far?
I mean, right now, I have a memory like a goldfish, and the game that I've played the most recently is, again, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. That game is incredibly addictive, and at any time that I have 5 minutes... You gotta leave that in.
That is so weird.
Yeah, wow, look at that.
Gotta turn that off. Sorry.
Anytime I get like an extra 5-10 minutes, I usually sit down and play Ninja Turtles. But that game just came out, and so it's super fresh in my mind. If you ask me in a couple of weeks, I'll probably say Monster Hunter Rise Sunbreak, because Monster Hunter Rise was one of my favorite games from last year. And I've been I've been talking about Monster Hunter like nonstop all year, because that game is just my absolute jam. So I guess I'm going to cheat, and I'm not going to say either of those. And I'll say a game that is technically a new release this year, but it actually was in early access for a while, and that would be Rogue Legacy. I've got a Rogue Legacy 2. I've got, I don't know, like 40 hours in Rogue Legacy 2, and that I just got it, what, a month ago? It's so good. It's so fantastic. And it's one of those games, you just go in and you keep playing, and it's super addictive. It's got a wonderful, concise, and satisfying gameplay loop. And I just, I adore that game.
So that's kind of a good segue into the next question. And I guess, excluding Monster Hunter, what game on the horizon are you paying attention to that has you excited?
The only game that I can think about now that I'm not playing and can't play for the next 9 months or whatever is Starfield. I love Elder Scrolls. I love Fallout. I love big open world RPGs. And everything that they're showing about Starfield has me very, very excited. A thousand planets, a bunch of star systems, trading. Just it looks too good to be true. No Man's Sky also looked too good to be true, and it was at launch, but it's turned into quite the game. So I hope Starfield doesn't have the same stumble out of the starting blocks as No Man's Sky has.
I was so deep into No Man's Sky when it came out. I think I have like 1,000 hours in that game, and I made it to the center and the game just resets, and I was like, what the heck is this? Like, I didn't want to buy into any of it. And when I saw Starfield, I was like, please, for the love of God, just knock this out of the park, because you're coming off Fallout 76, which was, it was a little rough, and then you're coming into the No Man's Sky territory, and I'm with you. It looks great. I'm definitely going to check it out, but it's just one of those that I'm like, come on, you can do it.
Well, if he's allowed to pick something for next year, then I'm going to say in about 9 months, Breath of the Wild 2, that's going to be, I cannot wait. Yes, more Link.
Hopefully I don't offend you by saying this, but I've never played Breath of the Wild.
Why would I? I would not be offended. Listen, everybody's okay. Allowed to like the things that they like, and there's way too many games in the world for everybody to play anything, everything. So if you haven't played it yet, I highly recommend that you do. It's amazing. And it, you know, if you have played it and you don't like it, then that opinion is 100% valid. That's the coolest thing about video games, is your opinion is just as valid as my opinion, even if we don't agree.
Well, gentlemen, if people want to find more about you, about Nerd Nest, where should they go?
So Lloyd has a podcast called Nintendo Pulse. You can find that at rezd.tv/NP.
Good job. Good job. I'm impressed. Bill has a podcast called Games with Bill. You can check that out at anchor.fm/Nintendo Switchcraft. Is that, or did you did change it? Okay. Sorry. it just updated in my podcast feed. So I never updated that.
Yeah. I changed the podcast over to a new show. And so nobody had to subscribe to it. It was already like everybody was already subscribed. Yeah. anchor.fm/gamesbill. And if you want to hear Lloyd and I talk about stuff together, then head on over to nerdnest.tv and check out both of our YouTube channel and our podcast all about the Steam Deck and PC gaming, which is called On Deck, wherever you listen to podcasts.
Well, gentlemen, thank you again so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure getting to meet both of you and getting to talk about cloud gaming and everything. For everybody watching at home, thank you so much for watching this week's episode. Until next time, my name is Bryant, and this has been the Nerf Report. Thanks for watching. Hey, thanks again for checking out our channel. If you like what you saw and you want to see more content just like it, which who wouldn't, hit the subscribe button right there. And while you're down there, hit the like button. Maybe even consider becoming a Nerf Report best friend, just like the people listed down below did. In fact, don't you want to see your name there? I know I do.